With a vision to rebuild, renew, and restore hearts and homes in the urban community, Urban Life Family Media presents Fruitful Living with Chris and Carol Green. Fruitful Living is the podcast outreach of Urban Life Family Center, an inner healing ministry that has been changing lives in South Central Pennsylvania since September of 2004. For the next few minutes, we're going to bring you into our weekly session from the family prayer room, where you can experience the word that is producing fruitful living.
So, talking about reverence, the nuggets of wisdom for reverence. Have you ever been in love? There's a story that I like to share when it comes to this particular question. Have you ever been in love? Carol and I attended Oral Roberts University, and we arrived at that school and still were in the early stages of just getting to know one another. Actually, we didn't have a personal relationship with each other. It's just one of the things that all of us young people did. We just kind of hung out together. That was kind of a regular thing to just kind of hang out, especially at Oral Roberts University, depending upon what dormitories that you stayed in. It really didn't. Sometimes we'd all go to different lobbies, and so lobbies of various dorms. And so this was one of those times, and back in those days, the school was less than 2% African-American. So since it really wasn't that many African-Americans there, we all tended to kind of gather together because of seeing, having familiar faces. So we're in a school of 4,000 people. And it's less than 2% are African American. And yes, the African Americans are going to find one another and hang out. And so when it's not like we were together, we were just all out, you know, just sitting around talking. And someone decided, you know, to go out, is going to go out to eat and all that kind of thing. And so I think pretty much everyone decided, okay, we're going to go to eat. Then he's going to go to a club. They used to call it discos in those days. Y'all don't know about that. The word in those days was disco, not club. And so I was really uncomfortable with that. I didn't really want to do that. So I said I wasn't going to go. And so Carol saw me. I didn't realize that at the moment, but I know now she saw me, you know, that I wasn't going to go. And so she decided that she wasn't going to go either. And so everybody else went except for me and Carol. And we, you know, sat and talked, and the rest is history. No. But the reason why I use that story is because Carol saw, she didn't want to risk the possibility of a relationship. I didn't know how interested she was in me at the time. I didn't have a clue. But because she didn't want to risk the possibility of a relationship with me, she did not go with the rest of the group. She stayed to be with me. You know. But her motive was far. It wasn't an ulterior motive. It wasn't even just a selfish motive. Because of how she felt about me, she went against the grain of everybody else. And so that was a huge decision to be able to, because of your affection or your feelings for someone, that in spite of all of the opinions of everybody else, she still stayed behind with me. Now, I'm not here to debate or talk about whether we should have gone to the club or not. That's just where I was. I came from a pretty strict church background at that time and season of my life, so that's just where I was. And so even though she personally didn't feel any restriction in going, she saw that's where I was, and so she stayed behind, because she saw where I was. And so she went against the grain. She went against what the possibilities of what everybody else might have thought about her because of how she felt about me. Wow. That's what I mean when I say, have you ever been in love? Have you ever been in love to the point where, in spite of what everybody else thinks, you're still going to go for this relationship. That's really what it means to be in love. In spite of your own fears, in spite of everyone else's opinions, in spite of everything, you're going for this relationship because this relationship is now more important to you. And this person's view and this person's opinion, this person's values, this person's priorities, this person's purpose, all of that is now more important to you than anybody else around you and what they might think of you and what they might say. That's really what it means to be in love. That's what I mean when I say, have you ever been in love? A relationship can change your priorities. For your wife, you'll drop everything because of the level of that relationship. For a brother, you change your plans. You might be planning on doing something. Your brother give a phone call. Hey, dog, let's go to the game tonight. I got some tickets. You said, even though you had some plans because it's your brother. You go, yeah, because that's a level of relationship. Now, it might even be a coworker that call you up and say, come on, man, let's go soon. And you're like, nah, man, I don't want to go. Why? Man, the relationship ain't all that. I don't want to be hanging out with you. You don't mean nothing negative, but that ain't that kind of relationship. So a relationship is what determines the priorities. For your niece or your nephew, you might drive the extra mile to find just the perfect gift. It's for their birthday or for Christmas or something like that. So because it's your niece or your nephew, it's my brother's or my sister's kid. And so for them, I'll drive over to West Shore to find the gift for them. The level of the relationship determines the priorities that you set. So how much more when it comes to our relationship with God? That's what I'm getting at. So our nugget of wisdom is live with reverence and fear of God. What do you mean when you say reverence and fear of God? Now comes the interesting part, because you go, how can you connect the fear of God? Anybody ever heard that phrase, fear of God? We're a God-fearing people here. I've heard that phrase, being God-fearing. What does that really mean to have reverence and fear of God? Well, I put it in these terms. It simply means we care more about what God thinks, about what we say and what we do, than the rest of the crowd. That's all it means, to be God-fearing. The word reverence literally means to have the fear of God. Not just scared. No. It means this relationship means more to me than anything. That's fear of God. I care more about what God thinks. God's opinion of us and our actions matters more than anyone else. So I'm scared to go to hell, and therefore I'm not going to go here, and I'm not going to go there, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. That ain't fear of God. That's fear of hell. The only reason why I don't do it is because I don't want to get killed. That's fear of death. And many times people associate God with that. They associate the fear of hell, the fear of death, with the fear of God. No, that's not. And there are a lot of people that claim to be God-fearing. No, they're not. They are scared of dying and they're scared of going to hell, but they're not fearing God, because with the God kind of fear, it's more of, I'm in love. I'm in love, and I don't want to hurt the one that I love. I don't want to disappoint the one that I love. Big difference, ain't it? So it changes everything. Don't you like that? I've been in love because I've been to the point I don't care what nobody thinks. Anybody ever had to make decisions against family and friends because the only thing that mattered to you was what God thinks about this? What God thinks. How he feels about this. That's what it means. And one of the nuggets of wisdom that you find in the book of Proverbs is the fear of God. The fear of God, reverence, being so in love with God. The Bible refers to that as the beginning of knowledge. Here's a word that you'll find interesting, intimacy. So where does intimacy come into all of this? We are talking about being in love with God, the fear of God. You wouldn't even normally think of this word intimacy as having anything to do with that phrase, fear and reverence. But it absolutely does, because we all have a need for intimacy. Now, intimacy and sex are not the same thing. Many people think that intimacy, in fact, people will use the word intimacy to describe sex. But actually, sex is just one expression of intimacy. What we all truly desire is to be known, to be understood, and to be accepted. That's what intimacy is. That's why sex is only one expression, because it's only one expression of being known. So intimacy is way beyond sex. Because now it's getting to the point where you know me. One phrase I like in this movie, this Avatar movie, ha ha ha, another plug for them. Send me some royalties. I'm making plugs for these movies. It seems like every time a movie comes out, I'm quoting from a movie. This Avatar movie, and one of the things that they say to one another, that indigenous tribe, when they see one another, when they greet one another, is, I see you. I think that that is one of the most awesome ways to express a greeting. The girl walks up to her father and says, I see you. That's a level of intimacy. Not the perverted stuff between a father and a daughter. No, she's talking about, Dad, I see you. You're my dad. I'm your daughter. That's authority. I'm acknowledging your authority, and I'm coming to you with a problem. Dad, I see you. See? It's intimacy. That's, Dad, you know me. Dad, I know you. Dad, you understand me. Dad, I understand you. Dad, you accept me. I accept you. And then she brought the problem. Before I say anything that's about to happen here, Dad, I see you. And it's sort of like what we do with God. That's why I like that, seeing that in the movie. Where we come before the Lord and we've got these problems and these things happening in our life. And the first thing we say is, Daddy, I see you. I know you. I understand. I accept you. And I know that you know me. You understand me. You accept me.
At Urban Life Family Center, we minister in an informal family atmosphere that includes worship, prayer, sharing, and healing. But it's all done in a style and format that uniquely ministers to people in a personal way. From our Sunday prayer and healing sessions to our home church gatherings, everything we do is designed to equip and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Until next time, remember, God wants to use you to rebuild, restore, and renew hearts and homes in this community. He wants to do it through your fruitful living.